there, friends. Welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. On this podcast, our goal is just to simply show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we just hope that you're helped by this current series from the book of Joshua. What we've called it is Don't Be Afraid to Follow God. So let's just take a second, sit back, and hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, friends. I appreciate you joining us again today for the next episode of Everyday Truth. I'm here again today with Caleb, and we have we've just been enjoying our off-air time talking about these passages. There's so much that I wish I could share, but I don't want to get so bogged down that we're in the book of Joshua, you know, 20 years from now.
Yeah, he's already got like a whole sermon series just for today's podcast, but we're going to try to condense it into a few minutes.
You know, when you're a pastor's kid, everything revolves around sermons and sermon illustrations.
Right, exactly. And you eventually become the sermon illustration.
You become the sermon illustration. That's exactly right. So, but there are benefits as well. This is a section today that is a shorter section. It's one of those little vignettes, one of those little pictures that you see in an otherwise, I hope this doesn't sound sacrilegious, but boring section of scripture. And what I mean by boring, I don't mean not important. I just mean it doesn't read well. It's borders and boundaries, and we've talked about this. But then these little pictures, the little stories that bring life to what's going on. And one of them is found in Joshua 17, verses 14 through 18, a little five-verse section. Remember, guys, we've been talking about the possession of the land. We talked about Ephraim getting their little lot, and then actually a big lot, and then Manasseh getting its lot. And now together, the children of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh, they have a complaint. So God's been very good to them. Think about it. They didn't even really deserve to get land. Yeah. They're not children of Jacob. They're grandchildren of Jacob. And yet God has graciously, because of their father's sake, allowed them to have a swath of land, and a huge swath of land.
Yeah, more than any of the other tribes.
You would think that their answer would be, thank you. Wow, that is just so magnanimous. But they don't. There's a little bit of a complaint. They are blessed beyond any of the grandchildren, and yet they complain. And I want you to see it. Matter of fact, I want you to see this section so badly that Caleb, I'm going to have you read all five verses. Okay. So listeners, buckle up right now. Listen carefully to these five verses from the Word of God.
Starting in verse 14. And the children of Joseph spake unto Joshua, saying, why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion to inherit, seeing that I am a great people? For as much as the Lord hath blessed me hitherto. And Joshua answered them, if thou be a great people, then get thee to the wood country and cut down for thyself in the land of the Perizzites and of the giants, if Mount Ephraim be too narrow for thee. And the children of Joseph said, the hill is not enough for us, and all the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron, both they who are of Bethshan and her towns, and they who are of the valley of Jezreel. And Joshua spake unto the house of Joseph, even to Ephraim and to Manasseh, saying, thou art a great people and hast great power. Thou shalt not only have one lot only, but the mountain shall be thine. For it is a wood, and thou shalt cut it down, and the outgoings of it shall be thine. For thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots, and though they may be strong.
I don't know if those verses resonate with you as they do with me, but there are some great lessons in Joshua 17 that we just have to take away. First of all, you know, Caleb, do you see what I see there? Mm-hmm. Do you sense their complaint?
Yeah. These people are almost, you know, they're saying, hey, this lot that you've given us, it's not enough. You know, but it wasn't Joshua who gave them the lot. It was God who gave them the lot.
That's right. Yeah. And a lot they didn't deserve. It was a blessing. And if we're not careful in life, the blessings that God gives us will become expectations. Hmm. So God was good and gave them above and beyond. And if we're not careful, the blessings we receive eventually become expectations. And what it's like in America, we're so blessed. Yeah. We are so blessed. And we then take those blessings for granted. They become expectations. Like we expect to, well, I expect to have hot water when I turn on the spigot. I expect to have a full refrigerator. I expect that my air conditioner is going to work. What do you mean it's not working? It's too hot in here. First world problems.
Yeah.
And here were two tribes that got a huge swath of land, blessings that they did not deserve, that they did not earn. And yet their response was, this isn't enough. This isn't enough. And the way that Joshua, the leader, handled it is so masterful. And it's because he handled it graciously. He handled it in a way that accrued to their benefit. I'll tell you the way I would have just, oh my goodness. I think I would have just said, you whining, ungrateful, you know what? I'm going to give your land to somebody else.
Yeah.
But Joshua didn't do that. He was, I think, I think there was a rebuke there, but eventually he gave them some encouragement. So let's unpack it. How did Joshua deal with the complaint of the house of Joseph? I think, first of all, in verse 15, he went right to what they said. Hey, this isn't enough for us. And he basically said this. He said, well, if you really are the great people that you claim to be, that you have all these people and all this strength and all this blessing, then why don't you go clear some land? In other words, Joshua said, your complaint really doesn't hold water. You have enough land. If you'll clear some of it off, you look at all those hills with all those trees. Why don't you get to work? I mean, that's a great rebuke, isn't it?
It is.
It's almost like, well, I don't have, you know, why don't you get to work? Why don't you roll up your sleeves? God has given you enough, but he didn't give you all these blessings on a silver platter. It's kind of like saying, well, I don't have enough food. Well, there's a vegetable garden out there. Why don't you pick some vegetables and wash them off and chop them up and fry them up in some olive oil on the stove, and then you'll have food. You know, are you expecting something to, you know, microwavable?
Yeah.
You know, we're drive through Christianity. You know, we want everything to be prepackaged and ready to go. Pop it in, you know, press the button and, you know, there it is. Mm-hmm. And what Joshua was saying is when God gives us blessings, sometimes he gives us work boots to be able to get those blessings. So go chop some trees down. And I love their response because they're not really convinced by that. They add an excuse on top of their complaint. So the complaint was, our lot is not big enough. And then Joshua says, well, I'm pretty sure it is because you can cut down some trees. And then they say, well, you know, even if we cut down those trees, it wouldn't be enough because we need the valleys, and the valleys, the Canaanites are already there, and the big bad Canaanites have chariots of iron and we can't compete. So it's like excuse number two.
Right.
And Joshua says, all right, get to work and get to fight. Start working. Right. Start working, start fighting.
Yeah.
In both cases, it's going to involve some effort on your part. It's there. God's given it to you, but there's something that you're going to have to do to earn it.
Yeah, I think it's good. Yeah, and like you said, it's pretty masterful. He takes their own words and says, "You're great people. All right, if you're great people, then do these things."
Right. The dad, the grandfather that only gives his kids stuff. Like the new car when they're 16 years old, and you know, I'm going to buy your house for you. I'm going to set you up in the company business. Is he really helping his son by having him to avoid the struggle? Of course not. Those are the people that end up ruining the family business. Those are the people that end up. Those are the people that end up ruining their lives because they're takers. They don't have to earn. They don't have to work. But our Heavenly Father understands the principle that I'm going to give but you're going to have to earn as well. So part of the process of God's blessing is your part, having to earn, having to work, having to struggle. And I see that here in Joshua chapter 17, don't you?
Yeah, it's pretty clear, you know, like you said, like we're reading through the passage and you just skim over it. But then when you stop and see, you know, there's so much truth. And I like that point where it's like, hey, you know, God has those things for us. But I think not even just first world problems mentality, but I see it a lot in second generation
Christianity.
It's like, okay, God, give this to me, you know, and I expect, and it becomes our expectation, but we have to go out and work for it. And sometimes we're just not willing to go through the sacrifice, of the Christian life, or to take up our cross, or to, you know, to put in the, what is necessary to acquire what God has for us.
I see the pendulum. It's, you know, I see the pioneer spirit, you know, back in the day, people starting churches, going to the mission field, and you know, sometimes undersupported. They didn't think about healthcare or retirement. We're just, bless God, we're going to win the world to Christ, and we're going to trust God by faith. And I love that spirit. And then there was kind of a pendulum saying, you know, we need to take care of people and provide health care, and we need to help them with retirement. And now sometimes you'll have people that, I'm not going to go to the mission field unless I've got a 401k funded, unless I have, you know, $1,000 a month of health care, unless I have a furlough fund that's in place and I can fly business class. And yeah. I mean, you see a pendulum. And I think what God is helping us to see in this story is we need to have a pioneer spirit. And we need to be able to roll up our sleeves and put on the work boots. And yes, God does his part and blesses us, but we have to be willing to seize those blessings. Paul said, there's a great door and effectual opened unto me, and there are many adversaries, and the opportunity and the obstacle coexist. Maybe you're in a position right now in your life, listener, where you're seeing an opportunity, but you're also seeing tons of obstacles. Please understand that in the will of God, opportunities and obstacles oftentimes coexist, because it purifies our motives in attempting great things for God. And without those obstacles, is it really, you know, that's part of discipleship.
Yeah.
It's that taking up the cross. It's that denying of self. It all goes with it. I think about Caleb in chapter 14, not you, Caleb, but back.
I was getting some limelight.
Yeah, but back and forth, chapter 14. Think about Caleb. Caleb saw there were obstacles. The giants were in the land, but Caleb wasn't like, well, I didn't get enough land with the tribe of Judah. He said, give me that mountain. I know that there's trees that need to be chopped down. I know that there are Canaanites that need to be expelled from the land. That didn't bother me. I'll do my part. How different is the attitude of Caleb in chapter 14 than the attitude of the house of Joseph in chapter 17? And then finally, just because of time, let me give you a quick three leadership lessons. Caleb, let me know what you think about these. So Joshua handles them, I think, in a couple different ways. First of all, I think he says, I'm going to provide you an opportunity. I'm not going to provide you a handout. We've already talked about that. Leadership is going to provide an opportunity, a good leadership, but good leadership is not going to provide a handout. And then the way he deals with their complaint, leadership lesson number two, he steers their complaint constructively. So they complain that we don't have enough land. Instead of him comparing them with others and arguing, he says, well, I want you to think about it differently. You do have enough land. Okay, have you looked at the land over there that it involves some trees that need to be cut down? Have you looked at the land down there that involves some enemies that need to be defeated? So he reshapes their perspective. And I think leadership sometimes needs to reshape perspective. You know, you do have blessings. You know, God has blessed your life. Just look at it differently. And he helps them to look at it differently. And then finally, leadership lesson number three, he inspires them. He says, guys, God has done great things for you. You're absolutely right. You are a great people. God does have great plans for your life. Now get busy. Act upon what God has told you. You will defeat these enemies. You can do this by the grace of God. Let me inspire you to go forward and work and fight. And sometimes the greatest thing a leader can do is not give people things, not do things for them, but inspire them to be all that they can be, to inspire them to use all that God has given them to reach their potential for the Lord. Do you see some of that?
Yeah, and it could have been easy for Joshua to go about it any number of ways, you know, but I think he had that perfect balance of that almost constructive criticism where he says, you know, I love you too much to baby you, you know, and to love somebody, you need to tell them the hard things sometimes. So he told them the hard things like, look, no, you're wrong. You know, you do have enough. And if you want this, you're going to have to go fight for it. You're going to have to, you know, and he says, you are a great people. You said it. Now go back it up.
Right.
You know, and Joshua could have said, oh, okay, we're going to take, you know, thousands of men from over here and we're going to help you conquer this land. And he said, you know, I know what you need to do, and I know it might be tough for you to hear it, but I'm gonna let you know what you need to hear.
Leadership should always leave people with a positive challenge. There are going to be times when you rebuke, times when you have to get on people, but always be oriented toward a solution. And at the end of the day, Joshua said, okay, I've dealt with your complaints. I've said some things that were hard to hear, but hey, God has blessed you. God has given you great potential. Now go for it. And that would be my encouragement to every listener today. God's blessed you. God has given you some great potential for him. Quit complaining. Quit making excuses. Go for it. And let God do something great with your life. God bless you guys.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.